Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist.
Please welcome to the Daily Zeitgeist, Mala Munoz and Yosef!
Hola, hola.
Hey, everyone.
How you doing? Thanks for having us. Good to have you. Thanks for coming by.
Yeah, good to have y'all.
I would say what's new, but this is the first time we're meeting, so great to meet you. And is there anything new going on with y'all that we should know about? As if we know each other.
I mean, our first big major thing is we are like new to iHeart, to the network. We just signed with the My Cultura Network, which is like the Latinx programming within iHeart. And we're really excited to be part of the family.
Yeah, we've been podcasting since 2016, but to be on this level, to have this kind of game changer has been really exciting. So we're just happy to be here.
Oh, you know, you are, you know, legends in your own right. You've won awards. Yes. People know how good you are. I think it's only probably a matter of time that everybody began to understand that. But yeah, thanks so much for coming on. And okay, so this is something I was going to, before we started, I was like, this is something I've been having arguments about, not with any of y'all specifically, but I asked the two of you, both of you are from LA, right?
Yes.
What part of LA are y'all from?
So I grew up in the San Gabriel Valley, but I live more like in central LA, mid-city now.
Okay. Okay. 626, checking in. Okay.
Yes, truly. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm in the 562. I'm in Southeast LA.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. There you go. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now, and Jaquise, I said, you're from Chicago. And he said, well, yeah, I've been living here for a minute. This is a question I have. When you, if you're on vacation, right, and you're meeting, let's say you meet other American people, or you just meet people and they say, oh, hey, okay, cool, where are you from? Do you say where you live or where you're from?
Yeah,
this is a question what is the right answer there?
Yeah. At this point, I just say LA. Like I just got back from having a black ass adventure in Europe for a month last month. So, right. Of course, you know, of course you get a lot of, where are you from? And then you say the States, and right. Or you say California, and then you say Los Angeles. So that was the default. But then, like, if you're worthy enough to have me conversate with you for longer than, like, 2 minutes, and we start talking, and, you know, I'll let it come out like, well, I was actually born in Chicago. I'm from Chicago. So at this point, I've been living in L.A. for over 10 years now. So at this point,
sure.
It's just easy. It makes no sense for me to say,
okay.
Oh, I'm from Chicago.
This is where I get caught up. When someone says, where are you from? I literally hear that as, hey, like, what you like, where are you claiming? Like, where mm-hmm. are you from?
Yeah.
Like, not mm-hmm. like, where do you reside? Like, I'll be like, yeah. nah, man, I'm from the Valley, bro. I'm from the San Fernando Valley. That's yeah. that's where I'm from. But there's people being like, well, it's actually more relevant where you live now. And I'm like, I guess I just interpret that question to be like, where are you from? Like, where do you originate from? And I guess that's where I get caught
let
up.
Let me tell y'all something. If y'all worry about me still repping Chi-Town, Chicago, Southside, you ain't got to worry about that. I'm still yes. up here repping the 312 and the 773.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying? So it's just when I'm talking to the white folk from around the way and they want to know, Where are you? They see black folks be like, "Where you from, my nigga?" White people are like, "Where are you living? Where are you living?"
Right, right, right.
For those
you
people,
hear it differently. I think
I'm saying L.A.
Thing.
You know,
yeah,
yeah. It's like, context. Okay.
Context. Like it depends on who's asking.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
If they're yeah. creepy, I firmly believe in lying to people about
sure,
where
sure.
you live and where you're from.
Hey, girl, where you at? Where you from?
You know.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Right. Okay.
Because also now living in Chicago, you know, being from Chicago and shit. This shit happened to me in L.A. at a karaoke bar. Like, I had a friend from Chicago in. We were talking. And then, of course, it was a white boy. Of course, the conversation turned to, so how about that violence in Chicago? Like, shut the fuck up. Like, I don't need all that. But if it's a homie, I can tell the person is cool. Like, Miles, you know me well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, there's no shortage of Chicago pride coming from me.
Oh, yeah. So, no, I know that. I know yeah. that. You represent yeah, yeah. all the way.
What is something from your search history?
So I found this just this morning. I was like, oh, this is perfect. In my search history, I have morning finger pain.
Morning finger pain.
What
morning
part, finger describe pain. Describe the pain. Is this you,
yeah,
some of you're experiencing?
Okay. It's like, yeah, in my middle finger, when I wake up in the morning, it feels like it's jammed almost.
Mm.
It feels like just like tensing
like
it,
stiff?
Like flexing it, hurts a little bit. Uh-huh. Relaxing it, even like getting it up to like that full stretch,
right,
hurts. And I was like, it wasn't going away. And so I was like, you know, I'm 40 years old now, and there are
you're
just
so
things
you after you. You're 40.
So you admit it. You admit that though.
I'm wow. admitting. Yeah, wow. I mean,
you
like,
admit you admit it. Okay.
Look,
so, I admit it.
It's okay to be 40.
You're right.
And mm-hmm. There's just like things. Like I got a shoulder thing that I just sort of live with now. And I was like, yeah, oh, it's just another thing. And I was like, well, maybe I can look it up and see what it is. And right. So I was looking up morning finger pain, just like I look up all my ailments. And it could be tendonitis. Yay, you can fix that. Or it could be, what's that thing called where your fingers get all old and
arthritis.
Yeah, could be arthritis.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the old people
incurable
thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you're just done if you got arthritis.
Wait, so, but why the morning?
I don't know.
Like what?
It
goes away throughout. It works itself out, basically.
Oh, yeah, Miles, you're so young, so naive.
Throughout
everything hurts in the morning once you hit 40, man. It's like
it starts,
your
yeah
whole body.
Really?
I threw my back out this morning just like making breakfast for my kids. Like it just
oh,
like
no
seized up. I was like, oh no. Yeah.
You like grease it. Like the wheels get greased throughout the day somehow.
Yeah.
Okay,
moving
so
around. But in the mornings,
I'm
yeah,
not having
it's like
that
super painful.
No.
So it could be those two things, or if narratives from TV shows have taught me anything, there's probably an alternate personality that when you go to sleep takes
yes
over and
emerges,
starts doing things while you're asleep with your
with
middle
finger
and
just
shoulder. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's spooky and scary, and you should start videotaping yourself when you go to sleep.
Oh, I do.
Yep. Oh, okay.
Love watching those. Yeah.
And your kids are going to be like, the man in the tree came back last night to yeah visit me. And you're like, what again?
Is that just Yellow Jackets or is that? I feel like I've seen that other places where like a split.
I feel like it's a trope.
That's
of like, yeah, but the lady in the tree is definitely Yellow Jackets.
Oh,
Fight
you mean
Club. Yeah, yeah. Fight Club is.
Yeah,
also,
in that sense too. Yeah.
Yeah. We're just spoiling shit left and right. What is, what's something you think is overrated?
Oh, gosh, I'm probably going to get you all canceled. I think Taylor Swift is overrated. I think I saw Miles's eyes. I've never seen it for that lady. I always refer to her as that lady.
And I and just, I'm sorry you to know, that lady.
That lady, she's just that lady to me, and I genuinely don't see it for her. I think she's overrated. I definitely think she's a mean girl masked as a, I'm just telling a story. Nah, girl, you're being messy. And I think that that's something that I wish more people saw. I see through her. I really do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you say, okay, you're like, you're doing a good job, though. You're doing a good job.
Well,
you're
I mean, like, she's, a lot of she's been tricked. Able to capitalize on it. So obviously Absolutely. She's doing a really good job. But I genuinely just don't see it for her. I genuinely believe that she is that. So I'm going to say this. She is that girl that when you were in middle school, constantly did things and everyone else got in trouble but her. She is that girl, in my opinion. Oh,
she's getting away. She's already getting away with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And she knows how to manipulate people. She just personifies what white feminism is, in my opinion. I said what I said.
Okay. Yeah, you said it. You said it loud. Mm-hmm. Who do you think should be? Who is the person who isn't getting the Taylor shine that you like? You know who should be getting that shine is this artist.
The person who is not getting the Taylor shine that they deserve. I genuinely, you know, so there is, I see people doing the challenge on the TikTok, Victoria mm-hmm. Monet. I think should be getting all of the love and the shine that Taylor Swift is getting. It's just, I think she's a great performer, great writer, and she doesn't bother people. Like she does, you never hear anything negative about Victoria Monet in the news. But yet, for some reason, she's not as big as, you know, Taylor is, and I don't get why. So
it'll take time. Sure, we'll get there. Yeah.
Well, the good news is Taylor Swift fans tend to be pretty measured and, you know, take things reasonable. So we should be good here.
Use a lot of qualitative and quantitative analysis with their opinions. Absolutely. I feel like right now, though, Carly Rae Jepsen is like overtaking Taylor Swift, or like at least on Twitter. I see way more people getting turned up over CRJ, which, yeah, I'll fuck with her too.
So, yeah, I do too.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
What's something that you think is underrated, Carmen?
You know, I thought about this question, Miles. Look at me. Okay. I'm a brown woman.
All right.
I'm a brown woman, okay? Mm-hmm. What's underrated? Me.
Mm-hmm.
me, okay? My whole life. Me. Yeah. My whole freaking life. And I'll say all other black and brown women, underrated, underappreciated, underthought of, under everything. Because I tell you, even just yesterday, I was in the Apple store and this young man, I go up to him and I'm like, oh, I need a new phone, blah, blah, blah. Black screen of death, blah, blah, blah. And this man, he just treated me so dismissive. So dismissive until he's like, well, why don't you just look up your receipts from the store to see when's the last time you bought a book. And I scroll in and I'm scrolling receipts. And this brother goes, oh, I didn't realize that like you bought so much here. Like, you know, just stupid shit. Because of course I'm not the color and the type and this and that. And the other thing happens constantly. It's that thing of where, Becca, you know, you walk out the door in your skin, in your race and in your gender and how you appear. And that hits you in the face.
Absolutely. Right?
In many, many spaces. And so I think we still do underrate our women of color, black and brown women, for real. Happens on the daily. And there's also, of course, there's an urge to squash it. Because as you know, Becca, we are so good. We are so good.
Well, right now, the biggest transgression I've been seeing that's been irking me so crazy is that, like, the internet's trying to make Hailey Bieber an it girl. I've been annoyed since day one. She's literally just a nepotism baby with no talent. And Bieber stans come for me. But she has been doing this, like, brown lip gloss combo.
I was just going to say, you mean the Chola face she's doing?
And it's like,
the clean look?
So all of us have been wearing real gold. And I, you know, I'm sure the it girlies on the internet, a lot of it's not. It's like, these are gold that's passed down. All my gold's passed down. And the makeup that we wear, the clean look, is because we couldn't afford a lot of makeup. Or makeup didn't come in our colors that we couldn't get foundation.
Exactly.
So we're buying brown lip or eyeliner to use as lip liner. To make a lip gloss because they don't have anything in our shades. So I'm just like, ugh, whatever, this brown, like, nude look for fall. I'm like, no, this is something my mom has worn iconically for years. Like, I just get it.
And that's the thing is that we're simultaneously underrated and stolen from.
Yes.
Because we produce the good shit, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's that we want what you got, But you know, you stay over here. Yeah. We also
but
think you're
crap.
But
don't come into
you know?
A doctor's office saying that you got pain because I'm not going to hear that shit.
Let me tell you, I've had to search for doctors. Like the dismissiveness that they give you when you walk in the office when you're a brown woman is just, it actually causes death.
Yeah.
Right?
No. 100%.
It kills women. So that we are underrated. Look, I gave you something like so serious. Meanwhile, Becca, what's underrated? What's underrated? The brown lip. I got I got a little bit of it going on myself.
Yes.
A little bit, little bit. Yeah. Yeah. Let's make it peppy, Miles. Give me another question.
I just went through this with a family member, you know, like just terrible medical care. And it really made me think, I'm like, is there like a top 40 for doctors? Like, because there's, you see so many things and there's reviews, right? You could be like, oh, this doctor has good reviews, but and there are good doctors. Yeah. Like, and I'm just like, where's the, what's like the Michelin guide? So, you know, I'm like, no, these motherfuckers won't dismiss you. Like if you're saying something's wrong, because I mean, I'm not trying to paint the entire medical industry with one brush.
Yeah.
I know people myself who are very dedicated to what they do, but I know there are also so many people who slip through the cracks that it's like half the time I feel like I'll pick just a doctor because who's closest and then end up
and
going to
your
another doctor and they'd be
does
like,
your insurance cover?
Exactly.
That's the thing. And that's why people like have to go to certain doctors, you know?
Yeah. And they're like, oh, how come he didn't get all this blood work and blah, blah, blah done? I'm like, I don't know. I'm not a fucking doctor. I just went to this motherfucker and they said it was all good. Well, you're saying what now? Like,
well,
that's...
listen, I've been in the doctor's office. My daughter's long COVID, so we have many doctors. Mm. And sometimes, you know, she's a sassafras like her mama. And sometimes we'll leave and she'll be like, that guy was an asshole, or that woman, did you see the way she didn't talk to me? She didn't look at me. She just looked at you like I'm not a person, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And I say, B, here's what you got to understand. Just like I just said about the forgiveness thing, doctors are just people.
Yeah.
They're just people. They're not like some magical demigod. They're just human beings. They can be just as racist, just as stupid, just as biased, just as tired, just as hungry, just, you know, all of those things, not to excuse their behavior, but like, where is it coming from? Is it willful bias and ignorance, or is it like they're really, really rushed? And maybe you still don't want to see them anyway.
Yeah. Or the momentum of the whatever the status quo is within a given profession too, you know, like every industry has this like decades old momentum of terrible habits and shit that can't be broke. But anyway, all that to say, let us know, what's the Michelin guide for doctors?
I don't want to plug anybody, but you know, when you Google when you Google doctors' names, it does, you'll see a rating come up, and or ZocDoc also has ratings from a lot of the doctors.
ZocDoc does have ratings, but then I think because of Yelp, I'm like, see, I don't know what this person been through.
Word of mouth. I have found almost all of my daughter's specialists and my doctors through word of mouth.
Yeah.
That's
like, the same thing. I'm like, you like your doctor?
The second someone says that, I'm like, okay, what are they like? Where are they at? Where are they at? What do they do? Yeah. Can I get
to
an appointment?
All my girls here in New York, I gave them a rundown of, because it took me 2 years to find all my doctors. I went through trial and error. I've also had I've talked about it on this podcast. I've talked about it on Ethnically Ambiguous. I've definitely had the run of the gamut of bad doctors.
Oh, yeah.
I have a really great selection here now. And I like sent it to all my girls who moved to New York. I was like, these are my doctors. If they're covered by your insurance, go to these people because they respect me. So,
Becca, you have performed a very important service.
Yes.
That is an incredible, you've saved them hours and months and years of pain. So bravo, girl. Bravo.
They're like, hey, I want to get Becca's list. Like how much?
What's Becca's list?
What's her list? Wow. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back to talk about governance after this. You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island.
And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back. And there was a tragedy in Seoul, Korea, a crowd crush, 150 young people died. And in the aftermath of these, I feel like, you know, with the Astroworld one, it was, I think the bizarre conspiracy theories were extra quick. And they were like, it had something to do with Satan and Satan worshiping. But
right.
Usually the thing you hear is that it's a stampede. That people are like kind of trampled under a stampede. And it's a really kind of consistent misunderstanding or like misreporting of what actually happens, because it almost always has to do with fluid dynamics and not anybody in the crowd doing something violent. Like they,
right.
So the New York Times article about this on Sunday, like that was in the print version, like they had a quote that was, later, a group of young men made a hard shove down the hill, chanting, push, push. And that was like kind of the, it stands out because the only real description of anyone like doing anything, all the other descriptions are people being like, we don't know what happened. We have no idea. Like, no, like nothing seemed off. And then like there was some people were claiming there must have been a gas leak or something. But first of all, it's like weird. A group of young, like, how did they source the fact that a group of young men, like specifically in this massive like wave of people, was doing anything in particular? But the truth is that generally these have more to do with fluid dynamics. And like basically when crowd density rises above 4 people per square meter, and especially 2-6 or more, people get pressed together so tightly that they begin to move together as one unit with waves of pressure and release.
Yeah.
And like, it's scary. Like, yeah.
I've been
in
crowds.
Have you guys ever been in a crowd like
that? Yeah. I've been in crowds that get like that. And it'll be like as a show's about to start at a concert or getting out, and people are trying, like a festival, you're trying to like just people trying to move very quickly from thing to thing. And it always is the thing where when you're in it, you'll be like, damn, like you're shoulder to shoulder. And like you're saying, you're almost like, I'm moving because everything else is moving, not because I have the space to move or anything. It's like, I'm being pushed from behind. And usually you'll hear people at one point go, yo, stop pushing, stop pushing. Like, you feel that there's always this thing where people feel that they're being pushed because of, like you're saying, this, like, it's like watching traffic of it, like the pressure building up and releasing like an accordion kind of. Yeah, it's definitely freaky when you're in a situation like that, but never like at the scale of, you know, hundreds of thousands of people.
Yeah. Yeah, there's this Business Insider article that they released after using the word stampede in early reports, but they were like, yeah, no, we interviewed this person, Keith Still, a UK crowd science and risk analyst expert, who said, I've not seen any instances of the cause of mass fatalities being a stampede. People don't die because they panic. They panic because they are dying. So right. You might hear people scream like push, push, because they're like trying not to be like suffocated by
right from the other side
crowd. But it's like the people in the back who are, you know, maybe hundreds of feet away from anyone who's in real danger might like just do a small shove to like keep their balance or something. And that builds up this like wave of people that can like have a multiplying effect. And it really just like comes down to the people who are involved are in a no-win situation when you get that many people into that small a space, and that there's nothing that they can do. But the way we try and make sense of it, because of like how, you know, I've heard it explained as like America is individualistic, so we can't like make sense of anything that we can't like blame on an individual person. You could also, like, I've heard people say it's the English language, and the way that the English language is structured, like, it makes it so that there has to be someone doing an act. There, like, we rarely just talk about something happening. It's almost always like someone doing the thing, but it's very misleading. And it also lets the organizers off the hook. Like you know, when people try to sue over this, it's almost always thrown out because of this misconception.
Did you guys watch the Woodstock documentary?
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
The Woodstock 99 one?
Yeah. In it, they talk about, it's called Trainwreck, and they talk about, they interview somebody who was on stage, and like people who like perform at these things, they see that like fluidity of the crowd. And they talk about how when crowds start to get like really riled up, you'll just see like a group of people in the crowd. All of a sudden, the whole group just moves to the right 6 feet. Like out of nowhere, and they don't know how it happened or anything, but from the stage you can see it happen, where it's just like everybody all of a sudden is over, and they'll kind of like get picked up essentially and pushed. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think people just get, I don't know, I always picture it as like somebody getting stuck underneath and then getting trampled to death, but I guess that's not really it.
I mean that can happen too, but I think the real danger is when people get so compressed, you literally are just being suffocated. Squeezed out. Like you're just being compressed to the point you can't even breathe, and then you're just like stuck.
Medieval war, where like in the middle of it, everybody is just that you can't even do anything.
Right. And you bring up the organizers too, Jack, because like the cops were saying in Seoul, they were like, they admitted that they were there, but they weren't there for crowd control. Like the 130 some officers that were there just to look out for criminal activity. So they were like, I mean, we actually had there's no real guidebook, like according to like the police force, of like how to, like what to do for crowd management. Cause the other thing they point to, or this is like their excuse was also, is like, well, there's also no clear organizer. But the fact is, you knew like this event has been growing over the last few years. And this was like, especially people were there because this is like the first time there weren't any COVID restrictions in place. So it was going to be turn up city. Like, and they said that metro station, 130,000 people like passed through there that night. Yeah. So a lot of people were like, you could do so many things, like have the like station, that metro station closed, so people have to go to the next one and like walk through, rather than just like letting like hundreds of like 100,000 people just bleed out into this one very small area and just be like, yeah, let's throw our hands up. I don't know. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, it needs to be viewed like there is a wave of water, like people have said, like it's similar to a tsunami, and like that's really how they need to treat. If there are that many people going through a turnstile to an event in like a small location, like that needs to be how it's treated, because like the fluidity of it is kind of mind-boggling. But people talk about like having shoes sucked off their feet because of like just how much pressure and movement. And yeah, suddenly you're like 30 feet to your right. And like, you haven't done anything other than be like picked up off your feet.
Right.
But yeah, it just needs to be a crowd control, a like human engineering like issue, and not treated as, you know, something where the cops are just there to prevent pickpocketers. And like, that there just need to be very clear rules in everybody's mind of like, okay, this looks like it's going to be more than 2 to 4 people like per square meter. Let's like, right. We need to just stop people from coming here.
Yeah.
Know, like set up a blockade or something.
I think about like early when I was a kid and I would go to punk shows or something and I was like scared going in there. But then you'd be in the crowd and like everyone would be like pushing each other and you get knocked down and other people would just pick you up. And I was like, oh, it's safe. Like everybody has this figured out. Like they somehow, everyone who goes to these already knows how this all works. And this, it's just not true. Like the minute that you hit capacity, no one's in control anymore.
Right.
Yeah, right. It was safe because there was space, you know, for there to be like a mosh pit. And then if you needed to get out, you could get out too.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just like a compact space for people to go in.
Jack, have you ever been somewhere with your child in a situation like that?
I was at a thing yesterday, like to your point, Miles, about it being like, you know, post pandemic, there is a
not
Halloween.
Really, I mean,
what's
post,
that?
Yeah, post sorry. Acknowledging pandemic.
Sorry.
I'm pretty sure Miles called it scamdemic, didn't he?
Yeah. I was like, speaking of, you say, because things don't just happen, people do them to us. Oh, you check out my favorite tweet later.
Sorry. Yes. And that's something that I need to be wary of because we're not post pandemic. We are post a lot of the things that were helping us fight the pandemic and like post shutdowns. But we went to a like fair in our neighborhood that didn't happen for the last 2 years. And it was just absolutely like so jam packed in like all these people in a small setting. Like everybody was miserable. Like we were walking up and like parents were like, it's bad there. Like good luck. And I was like, yeah, they're just being fun. Like, and it was scary. Like we left after like 5 minutes because I think just a lot of people showing up at the same place and not a lot of like, there's just not this idea that, okay, one person is in charge. And if it hits this number, you're done. Like everybody has to like go home or like you just need to start turning people away.
Right. Yeah, we went to when my son was young enough that he was in a stroller, we went to the Women's March and we were like out in this street corner, this intersection basically, where just people started to like swell from each side and it just sort of like pushed into the middle and it became packed enough that people couldn't see the stroller down low.
Wow.
But everyone who's like looking for an empty space, all they see is like this empty space. So everybody's trying to move to that space and then they see there's a stroller there. So now it's just like denser and denser. And then at a certain point, they're like, we're all going to march now. And I was like, that's a bad idea. Like we should not even like, let's just all go our separate ways. Like this is bad. And it was a situation I was helpless in. And I was like, I shouldn't have brought him here. Like this is a mistake.
Yeah. That's really scary.
Yeah. It just sounds like we have to move past like the idea of like when there's a lot of people there, it's not like, and then some joker is going to trigger a stampede. It's that when there are so many people there, it has to be like second nature. They say, well, we have to figure out how to like alleviate pressure from certain points so we don't have a crush, because we know this tiny district or wherever this place is going to be, that you figure out what to do for people's safety. And like, in the, you know, I think in the cases of like Astroworld and Woodstock, it was a lot of that stuff was clearly because of cost cutting, just being like, we don't want to pay that much for security. And then this one seems like total just absolute lack of preparation from like the municipality to like understand what it means to have that many people in a space and then, you know, having a tragedy like that right after.
Yeah. And even going to the explanation of a gas attack is like because that's one of the things we can conceive of as like an invisible killer. But
like at Astroworld, someone was injecting people.
Right.
And they were going down in the crowd. It's like,
yeah,
no, people were suffocating or going into cardiac arrest because of this crush.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk Twitter. Elon has taken over and apparently wants users with blue check marks to pay around $20 a month to keep their verification status, lest they be cast aside to the faceless masses with us normies. The blue checks will allegedly have 90 days to subscribe, and the Twitter employees have until November 7th to figure this out or they will be fired, according to Elon Musk. He seems like a cool boss.
Great leader, great leader, great leader, great genius.
Yeah. I guess they have a thing called Twitter Blue.
Yeah.
Which is like an optional $4.99 a month subscription that unlocks additional features. And they're just going to transition that into a more expensive subscription.
I'm trying to think of what you possibly would pay for. What is it? What does Twitter Blue have? Delete? Or like
I don't
edit?
Know if it has
edit tweets. Or what,
yeah. I don't
even know. It's to the point where you're like, know. I can't even. Right. Exactly. Like, do I need to have Twitter Blue? I don't think so. No. But I think it's just a way to be like, it's premium. And then if you're just addicted to that word, you're like, yeah, I got the premium Twitter, I got the Paramount Plus, I got it all. But I think the big thing too is just also seeing it's like, oh, right. This, because I think a lot of people are like, this guy doesn't really want Twitter. You know what I mean? Like, he right. was really trying to avoid it. And now it's like, okay, well, now you got to have this thing be a money making thing. And that, like, first step is, all right, fire everybody and then make blue check mark $20 a month.
Yeah.
Is that saving money?
Yeah.
Or you can turn a profit like that?
And so Twitter verification was supposed to be about security and rooting out fraud. It was introduced in 2009. Right. And it came after Tony La Russa sued the company after a Tony La Russa impersonator account made derogatory jokes about him. And I think they got that scared them. But so, Soren, you do have a blue check mark.
Hell yeah.
And I did notice that, like, around the time that you got the blue check mark, your appearance totally changed. And you just took over. I'd always assumed you just took over somebody else's account, and once they had the blue check mark, it was, you were just a new Soren Bowie, right?
Yeah. I mean, I felt like a new man as right. soon as I got it. It's like my world changed, kind of things opened up for me.
Yeah.
I'll give you a peek in the back door here, Jack, because I mean, obviously they didn't approve your check mark.
They didn't approve mine because I have asked
for mine yet
since you got yours.
You've applied so many times.
Oh my God.
So it's the things that are different are, especially if you're a writer, is that other writers like immediately will respond to you. Like other blue check, other people who are, it's like this legitimacy that you have where they're like, oh, like if you write something to somebody or a reply, then they're like, oh, okay, I'll play this game. Whereas before, like, you just ignore everybody else.
Yeah.
And that was nice. But then it made it so that I couldn't fight with anybody. Like, it's really dangerous to be like, really get into it with somebody because you're never the good guy in that situation. In any circumstance, it's like, if you don't agree with somebody or you're like, you're going at it with somebody, eventually, inevitably, somebody you know will jump in and be like, hey, man, that person's got 150 followers.
Yeah, right.
Just chill out.
You're verified.
Like, why'd you do a deep dive into their YouTube channel that you found of theirs and just totally tore it apart, dude? We get it.
But that is why I'm able to just talk shit about you flagrantly and you won't say anything back to me.
I will never say a thing because I have to pretend I don't know who you are. I don't remember you.
Because I'm and you won't admit to knowing me anywhere except this podcast, which is can be a little unnerving. It can be a little frustrating and it does drive my mania to get my blue check mark approved. But
I do like that even like for you, Sarah, it does feed the idea of like, well, I'm a blue check. And how does that look as I, a blue check, kicking dirt on the downtrodden checklist?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
act I'm like you've been there before. Come
I'm
on.
A star-bellied snitch, man. I will find, though, that there are people who, like Dan O'Brien is a good friend of mine. If Dan tweets at me, I never see it. Like, for whatever reason, they're like, Twitter's like, this is the riffraff. Like, these people who are not blue check, you won't. Like, they just hide some shit that you don't ever see.
Is he not blue checkmarked?
No. He insists on, well, you know, he's like,
now I'm starting to think it's our last name. This is bullshit. Wow. Interesting.
Famously, most, any like McCallahan, anything that's like slightly Irish, they're like, don't do it.
Right.
That's amazing. Yeah. I mean, so obviously, like the security measure part of it melted away. Like the Tony La Russa thing, like he had to throw his case out because the account that he was like, they're trying to steal my identity was like named Tony La Russa. Like, what's it called? I'm having
like parody.
Yeah. It was called Tony La Russa parody account, or like it said that on the bio. So it was just old.
Didn't have
man,
much
not
of a lawsuit.
Understanding internet, basically. But yeah, it became status. It became a thing where the blue checks wouldn't even respond to us. And also, it's like Chester Cheetah has a blue check mark.
Right.
So Like, I'm not sure who was trying to steal Chester Cheetah's account, or maybe they were. I don't know. That actually makes more sense.
Well, I mean, when you look at that, though, too, like, because you're always like, wait, so how come, like, these Peabody winning journalists will have blue checks, and then a hot potato chip also has one? Yeah. And then you're like, right. Oh, right, you can, like, basically can buy your way there, too.
Yeah. There's also, these have already been for sale. Twitter themselves have unofficially sold verified accounts to non-celebrities if they just spend $15,000 over 3 months on advertising on Twitter.
Whoa.
Which I think is a smaller amount of people than you would think, since Twitter ads are bad.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah.
Like, you're basically giving them 15 grand for nothing.
Right. Well,
like, I you don't behave, like, in a hostile manner towards ads you see on Twitter. I'm like, get the fuck. Oh. Like, whenever I see him, I'm like, dude, I wouldn't even fucking pretend to look at that shit. But also, wow, this is really what Alex Mack, that person who played Alex Mack, looks like now? Huh. Okay.
I'll always hit those three buttons, those little three dots at the top, and be like, hide.
Right.
Hide. Yeah. Like, why? Yeah, I'm like, yeah. I don't know. No, I just don't like ads. Get it out of here. Get out of my face.
Why? Why, though?
Yeah. They also got in trouble when they verified one of the Charlottesville Nazis in 2017.
Right. Whoops.
So that's, but they just, like, don't have, it's the same social media problem where they're too vast to police, and it just becomes a free for all. And, like, there's no way for them to do a consistent policy without, like, hiring so many people that the site then becomes not profitable. So it's just,
I'm fine with them taking away the blue checks from everybody, making it, like, egalitarian, because nobody, and what that's essentially what they're doing, because nobody's going to buy a $20 check.
That's what most people are saying.
And if they do buy a $20 a month check mark, like, that, fuck that person.
Like, no, yeah, because then you're going to look like,
it becomes like a sign that you're the worst.
Because before you could have a blue check and be like, oh, I don't know. Like, they offered it to me. You know, like, back in the day, they're like, yeah, like, they started, like, my manager figured it out. But now, like, when you have it, they're like, oh, so you paying $20 to Elon for that.
Yeah. Desperation is just reeking from it.
Yeah.
And so, and people know too, are smart enough on Twitter to know that if you look at somebody's account, you look at how many followers they have versus how many they follow. And that's, like, a good indication of whether this person is the right person, like, the person you're looking for. if there's any question about whether this is, like, a parody account, you just look at, like, oh, okay, how many people are they following? How many people are following them? Ah, I see. That last number is higher than the first number. That's a good sign.
I think the fucked up part about all of this is that, like, so many people are not critical enough in their analysis at looking at anything on the internet that they're just going to assume blue check equals truth. And there's going to be a ton of bullshit out there from these blue checks that most of the time you'd be like, how the fuck did this person get verified from the Epic Times or whatever? Like, what the fuck is
Epoch Times?
It's going to be all, like, just a ton of, like, misinformation fest. I mean, that's why, like, everyone's just looking at this now and be like, wow, okay, like, the use of racial slurs has exploded exponentially, and he's spreading, like, fucking these fucked up homophobic conspiracy theories and then deleting them. And he's like,
is it possible?
I know what I'm doing.
The blue check story is meant to detract from that, which is, like, a much bigger story, which is that, Twitter's way worse, that he's also doing some really terrible, he's tweeting some really terrible things about, like, Nancy Pelosi and shit like that on there.
Right. I think
You know that everyone's going to talk about the blue check thing because the blue checks are going to influence everybody else on Twitter. And that's all they want to talk about.
Right. But the one thing, I feel like all of the most news outlets have been pretty consistent with some version of, like, damn, Elon's first week's a fucking real fuck up, or some version of that. Maybe not so aggressive, but pointing out it's like he's, like, fired everyone. As it stands right now, it's, like, just announced that he fired the entire board. And now it's just him right now as he figures out what to do with it. So I think most things are pointing to, like, he's not sure what to do with it, and he's making things so much fucking worse right now. But hey, Jack Dorsey's working on his own shit now. Blue Sky, whatever the fuck it's called. So
This guy, whatever the fuck it's called. Sorry, yeah, well, I'm canceling my application for the blue check thing. Let me just cancel this payment here real quick. Because you guys made some good points.
It'll just be like Facebook, I think. Like Facebook was a place where everybody left and the people who didn't leave thought that everyone was still there.
Was still
and like,
there.
Everyone just agrees with me all of a sudden. and that just became this weird echo chamber.
And you know, and what's going to happen is there's going to be like millennial grandpas that are like, dude, my fucking dad's still on Twitter.
I know.
They're like, what? In the year 2045? Yes, dude. Gets all his fucking news on there.
Oh my God.
That's going to be me.
Yeah, because I don't know.
I'm like, I can't give up these numbers. I'm like, you're just hating, son, because you ain't got these followers.
It's the only social network I still use. And it's like, I'm going to keep doing jokes, man.
Yeah.
That's all it's going to be forever.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk pheromones.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back, and the McRib is coming back to McDonald's to go away again for what, quote, might be the last time.
Do they say that every time about the McRib?
There have been multiple farewell tours for the McRib.
First off, do you eat the McRib ever?
I have never eaten one.
Same.
Have you all
never even had a McRib?
I've never had a McRib.
Oh, Miles, you would love the McRib, man.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not lying. Well, so the...
Oh, you it, well, let me it, tell you why. The reasons from my perception, right?
Yeah.
When I first heard of it, as somebody who like grew up in a barbecuing family, like the word rib has a quite literal meaning to me.
Yeah.
So when I heard of the McRib, I'm like, and I saw it on a thing, I'm like, oh, you can just bite the bones and shit?
Right. Like, because they do that? Like craft it into a sponge that yes. has bone shapes.
Like bone it. Mark. Yeah. Bone gradation.
And that's
and, shit.
And that's their logo for it is you can bite the bones.
Right. Yeah. And I'm like, ugh. So that always put me off the simulated bones. I was like, nah, this is fucking weird.
I love yeah, simulated I bones, but
oh, good.
That's
good.
Me.
No matter what, no matter when, it's all simulated.
It's real mushy is the thing that you don't expect. It's like it gives you, I think more than any other piece of McDonald's meat, it gives you the sense of like you're, the reason I was saying you might like it is because of your taste in fries, which is you like the soggy, when you eat a fry, you like for it to be like falling apart in your hand as you just like fling it into your mouth.
Yeah.
That's kind of the vibe you get from the McRib.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You don't like
mushy meat?
Yeah, I don't, like, what is it? Like a floppy, like a hash brown?
Floppy piece of meat foam is kind of the,
ooh.
but it's all, it's the whole thing is kind of in just delivering a impressionistic take of like what barbecue would be in the mind of an alien, you know, 2,000 years after humanity and all of our, you know, they've just read about it. And right. this is like an impression of like, we think this is what they were doing with that.
Well, it definitely
it has
does
the
look
essence
like a...
of smoke and meat.
Right.
It just doesn't have any of that really. I guess it is made of pork. But.
Right. It just has such lab experiment vibes.
Yes. Oh,
you know,
for
like
sure.
When I look at it, I'm like, what, who thought this shit up and thought that was like a good thing to eat?
Well, I can tell you. So first of all, the people who thought up the marketing farewell tour is the music industry, which that was my first thought when I saw, oh, they're doing another farewell tour. This reminds me of like every Rolling Stones tour. When they're
Eagles,
like
man.
The last time, the Eagles, yeah. the Rolling Stones, the Cher apparently has done like dozens of farewell tours. So, but as for the history of the McRib, it was first developed utilizing military technology to restructure meat for soldiers.
Hold on, restructure meat for soldiers?
Yes.
Ooh.
Okay.
I'm getting hungry.
Yeah. Yumma, yumma, go on.
So
why haven't they used, they also made food for space food. You ever eaten that space food?
Oh, yeah. It's a space
it
ice
has
cream.
Space food vibes. Yes.
Crunchy foam, you know?
Yeah.
Why don't they use that for McDonald's things more often?
I think this reminds me of that. It reminds me of, like, I just watched 2001, A Space Odyssey again, and they have that scene where they're, like, going to the moon base, and they're, like, they've really, like, gotten the feel of regular food as they're eating the sandwiches. They're, like,
right.
This is, like, it kind of feels like that. It's, like, oh, they've done a pretty good job using just the restructured concept of meat.
Isn't that what chicken nuggets are, too? It's just, like, this goop.
I was just going to say, like, chicken nuggets definitely feel more like you are getting chicken. Like they feel more like you can sense the presence of chicken more in a chicken nugget than you can sense the presence of ribs in a McRib.
I feel their souls.
Chicken nuggets to me are like its own food group in a way. I'm like, totally. Yeah, fried chewy nugs with meat flavor.
I think McRib pushes it even further in the direction of new food group.
Got it.
It comes out in 1982.
Okay.
And it is a huge flop.
Mm.
It's premiered in 82 and immediately starts disappearing in 82. By 1983, the McRib is basically gone, except it'll reappear suddenly in some places only to disappear again with no one really knowing how or why.
Right.
Then comes the Flintstones movie in the 1990s.
Mm.
And
John Goodman.
They're like, John Goodman, great film.
Rick Moranis.
Yes.
Rosie O'Donnell.
Thank you.
And who was the other? Oh, sorry. Just to say, it was Elizabeth Perkins was Wilma.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Rosie O'Donnell.
That makes sense.
Rosie O'Donnell.
Oh, then Halle Berry was Sharon Stone was her name. That's right.
Halle Berry get it? Sharon Stone?
That was her, like, Stone. Flintstone's name.
Did they try and cast Sharon Stone and, like, have to recast at the last moment?
I don't know. I think maybe it was just, like, it was such a 90s film that they're like, this is a great name to evoke because it has a rock word in it.
Yeah, it's a pun.
Oh, yeah. No, it works. It works for me.
But it is weird to be like, and Halle Berry as Sharon Stone does sound like strange. A weird sentence to say out loud. Yeah.
But so they bring it back for that. And
wait, is the McRib supposed to be dinosaur ribs? Is
yeah, that what? Because, you know, Fred Flintstone would eat giant brontosaurus ribs. Yeah. And so they were like, there you go. Like, that's a thing. And this is going to be the biggest hit movie of all time. So we're gonna, you know, reintroduce a food stuff specifically for the Flintstones.
And kids love the vitamins.
Yeah, right. Know? That's right.
Exactly.
I mean, people like eating things having to do with the Flintstones. There's something about that. And smoking Winston cigarettes. Kids also like that. But if you've seen the Fred Flintstone and Barney having a nice Winston behind the house commercials from the 1960s right. and 70s.
Perfect.
So the McRib stays on the menu again, but in 2005, it went on, you guessed it, a farewell tour. That's 2005. So 17 years ago,
okay,
it goes on its first farewell tour, followed by three more farewell tours. You can, like, go back and look at, there's images. McRib, the farewell tour 2, 2006. Theories abound that McDonald's is actually releasing and recalling the McRib in direct reaction to fluctuating pork prices. And if you, like, go back and map the appearance and the farewell tours of the McRib, it kind of works.
Oh, like they only hit it in the valleys, like in terms of like when they're hitting, like when it's at a low, they're like, all right, baby, buy up the pork. The McRib is back.
Yes.
Is what? Beef, do beef prices, is that just like a horizontal line? Is that?
I think it must be more steady. And also it's probably more steady because McDonald's exists, right?
Yeah. And they're the biggest, like one of the biggest, if not the largest, like purchasers of beef.
When they put apples in one of their salads, they became the biggest purchaser of apples in the United States. Wow. So they like, it's hard to say, okay, are they reacting to trends or are they creating them?
Oh, but, yeah. Maybe those dips and valleys are a result of the McRib going in and out.
Yeah, like insider information that they're going to bring
it's a
it
chicken nugget or egg McMuffin situation.
Yeah, that's right.
What came first, the chicken nugget or the egg McMuffin?
Nobody knows.
I don't know.
So that makes a lot of sense. But it's, yeah, like we said, it's the same strategy that musical acts do and that infuriate people. Like the, so Ozzy Osbourne had the No More Tours tour when he was, you know, initially retiring, I think, in 1992. And then in 2019, No More Tours 2, Cher, LCD Sound System, The Who, like every genre, like they've all said goodbye.
Nine Inch Nails. I think Trent Reznor did it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cher, the Wave Goodbye tour. He duped me for that. I was like, I'm there, Trent.
Yeah.
Let's go. And then I'm like, he's still going.
I think the ballsiest was Cher did a multiple farewell tours, and then at one point she did a farewell tour and moved directly onto a Vegas residency for 3 years.
Yeah. I think the reason it works is that, I mean, like, so when you were duped by Trent, you weren't bummed that you went to the show, you know?
No, not at all.
So he's back. Oh, that's only good news. You're never like, I went to one farewell show and I don't want to go to another one.
You know? No, not at all. I was like, I was there like 2 years later when he did another tour. And I was like, yeah, great. I'm here. Next to a guy who was juggling LED fucking balls next to me while I was tripping. And it was the most annoying thing. There's a guy, I remember at, I think it was outside, I forget which tour, big festival they were at. I was next to some guy who was juggling the whole fucking show.
That's yeah, annoying.
Like light up balls, and I was like, "This is a fuck. This is too much for me." Anyway, but all that to say, I'm not mad at when a farewell tour goes on. But
yeah, so if it's good, if they do a good job, that's fantastic.
Or it's also the Disney Vault. They'll do that too.
Yeah,
yeah.
The vault's closing. Yeah,
which is so weird.
Yeah. We only can open it for, yeah, it almost, like, I had an idea of the Disney vault that was like a, like, magical crypt that they could only open for, like, yeah, a couple exactly. weeks at a time. It's like, wait a second. This company has total control to do whatever the fuck they want, whenever the fuck they want.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a sales moratorium is what we call it more right. than anything, rather than like, did Walt's ghost let us look at the tapes again?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I will say, just with LCD sound system, I'll never, James Murphy played himself. I thought they were done years ago, and they're fucking everywhere again. Like, especially yeah. this last summer, I was like, I thought y'all were fucking done.
But yeah.
Look, I get it. They have fans.
Yeah. Barbra Streisand's fans actually tried to sue her after paying for hefty ticket prices for her first farewell tour.
Wow.
And so she did. She went on a farewell tour in 2000, grossed $56 million.
Oh,
and then wow. when she announced that she would be saying goodbye again in 2006. So that's they need to be keeping track of, like, okay, that's too soon, Barbra Streisand. People will, like, literally sue you and it will become a news story. But the McRib, like, goes away every couple years. So
we don't like, for fickle lawsuits and stuff, the shorthand has been, speaking of McDonald's, you know, the suing for coffee being too hot. But it maybe should be suing for not doing a proper farewell tour, Streisand, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and the coffee too hot thing is a great example of, like, corporations having control over, like, how our media works, because the person who got burned by their coffee, like, McDonald's had been warned by consumer groups, like, your coffee's way too hot.
Yeah.
Like, if somebody spills it on themselves, they will have, like, third degree burns. Like, you right. need to chill out with how fucking hot your coffee is. They ignored those warnings. The person had, like, permanent skin damage from the hot coffee. And we're all like, oh, yeah, there's that asshole. Like, I only learned that, like, years after I had been telling, you know, using
totally.
That as shorthand.
Yeah, that was myth busted recently. Yeah. Yeah.
The best way to do a farewell tour, this is the Bob Dylan method, is always seem like you are on the verge of death and just right. stay touring. I went and saw Bob Dylan in like 2006, and I was like, this motherfucker might not make it through this show. Like,
right.
He's still touring. He's been on permanent tour for the last 30 years.
He's like backstage, just laughing, yeah. counting yeah. his money. He's like, yeah. those dumb SOBs.
Doing they CrossFit.
They come fucking dying. Yeah.
He's doing CrossFit. And then comes out. Like,
he's like, I can clean and jerk 300 pounds, man. They ain't fucking with me. But is there anything to being able to sue for an artist saying this is the farewell, like to come out to say
false
this is the last time?
Know.
But I guess it's hard to say because you can't be like, you know, you have the right as a human being to be like, you know, actually, I wanted to come out of retirement.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's not obviously illegal, but clearly, obviously, like in terms of like someone's motivation to buy a ticket at a higher price, hearing that this could be the last time you'll see them clearly would add extra motivation.
Yeah. And my theory is that it's not necessarily the artist's fault. I think the artist is like, yeah, I'm pretty good. Like, I'm ready to retire. And I think this goes for boxers who come out of retirement, but they are not, once you're famous and, like, you know, you have an entire company's worth of people making money off of everything you do, you are no longer really in control of your own life. And so, you know, the people that you surround yourself with, the people you get business advice from, are all going to be pushing you to come out of retirement, even if it's bad for you, even if it's, like, shitty to your customers. Like, you are, like, in an information bubble of people who are like, the people are calling for it, Barb. Like, we gotta do it. I guess nobody calls Barbra Streisand Barb.
Babs.
She would have them killed.
Babs.
Yeah.
Babs, Jack.
Well, or Ozzy Osbourne, you know, he did his No More Tours, but he had right. no idea he was going to do like this huge hit reality show and his whole family was going to become crazy
right.
famous. And
so also, like, he might not have had any idea he was doing the No More Tours part two until, like, they were like, yeah, just walk through that door, Ozzy.
Yeah,
walked
there
out. There's a stadium full of people. Yeah. That feels like one that's especially predatory.
I mean, I think it's funny, like, the last time I was like, wait, they're not retired was Jay-Z, because I was such a Jay-Z fan. And then when the Black Album came out, I'm like, damn, that's a good way to go out. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
You got that's our cool. ass.
then the subsequent albums, I'm like, bro, you should have, what the fuck is this shit? Because, like, none of his, like, latter day albums, like, rank in his top five, like, at all. But I get for him, he was like, man, you know what? They're still buying this shit. We can put Magna Carta Holy Grail as, like, a download on Samsung phones. Fuck it, baby. I'm back.
I think there's a reason people do the I'm going to go out on top. Like, they usually, when people do that, they have some instinct that, like, they're not staying on top for that much longer. Like,
right.
And then when they do come out of retirement, it usually gives a pretty good, I don't know. Like, I'm thinking of Jay-Z, thinking of, like, Seinfeld is another example where people were like, they're going out on top. And, like, their last season wasn't their best season, but it was still, like,
right,
good enough. But then when, you know, Seinfeld does stand up after that, it's just not there anymore, man. It's no good. But he is a fashion icon, so we can... look up to him for that.
All right, that's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. Means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.
Right, gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.